Hey guys, this is Eric Young, and you're listening to Booking the Territory.
Hey, this is Ring of Honor Superstar Donovan Dijak, and you're listening to Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast.
This is a one-man gang. You're listening to Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast.
This is Booking the Territory, a pro wrestling podcast hosted by Mike Mills, Heartbody Harper from Wildcat Sports and Entertainment, and the mentally irregular Doc Turner. This podcast is a mix of your topics and thoughts in the world of pro wrestling, along with interviews and discussions with current independent stars and your favorite stars from the past. And now, here's your host, Mike Mills.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast. Thank you for downloading the show. We appreciate it. We appreciate you tuning in, checking us out. This week is a loaded show as usual. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on with Raw, SmackDown, TNA, and even better, our top five on the most overrated wrestlers of all time, which I'm quite sure may generate nuclear heat. what do you think, Doc? Some nuclear heat maybe about to piss some people off?
I would suggest that you fans get this episode in the hands of somebody at WWE so they can learn how to draw some heat.
I'm also talking to independent wrestler Sammy Guevara, who is our guest on this week's show. That's coming up as soon as myself and Doc are finished. We are waiting on Harper. He actually said he was in the middle of taking a shit, so we'll get to him shortly.
He told me he was Harperizing somebody. Maybe that's what he is meant by Harperizing somebody all this time.
Well, then again, you know, football is actually just kicking off as we're starting this recording. And, you know, he's got a thing for Michelle Tafoya, who works for, NBC with their NFL telecast. So who knows? That could be what the issue is. So, you know, we got a loaded show this week. But before we jump into our top five discussion, Doc, man, how you doing?
Man, I got a question for you. Do you know where Raw is next Monday night?
No.
Okay.
No idea.
All right. Well,
where is it?
I don't know. I see. I've got a side of beef, and I need to store it.
Where are you going with this?
And I just need to find some place where there ain't no heat.
That was the weakest thing I've ever heard. Why is Harper calling my phone right now?
Maybe.
I would love to know this.
Maybe the shit got stuck sideways.
I mean, I said text me when you're ready, not call me. So you know what we're gonna do? We're gonna call him. Let's call it in the ring. I better tell him we're recording as I do this, because he might pop off with some bullshit, crazy shit. Oh man.
Please leave your message for 5042.
Hold on, dude, because he's trying to call me. Let me call his asshole up. Give me some coverage, Doc, while I'm doing this. This is the most unorganized, unprofessional thing we've ever done.
I believe the term for it would be called shit show. So we'll kind of get started while Mike's dialing up. We got an email this week from Ted, and this guy, Ted, sent in, he thought Mike was being too hard on Triple H the last couple of weeks. What this guy had to say was that Triple H is the perfect guy to help Owens. He's the biggest baby face in the promotion, considering what he's done for NXT, and what he did for Owens was perfect. And so he ain't the biggest baby face in the promotion. That's for sure. I do respect what he's done for NXT, and I disagree that he was the perfect guy to help Owens. And that's not really the problem I have with this whole segment. My problem is that Triple H should have been out there on Monday night to follow up, and let's get some explanation as to why he did that. But Mike, is that you? We're calling. So we'll get back to Triple H and Owens. We set that up. But let's go to Harper online from Mars.
Hey.
Okay. So, Doc, I don't know what you were talking about just now.
Well, I was telling the fans about Kevin Owens and our email from Ted and how you're being a hard ass on Triple H and that you need to lighten the fuck up.
I'm gonna get that.
I've already read it to the people.
Harper was late because one of the Wildcat guys was picking up somebody from the airport. And if you've ever come out of any kind of airport parking lot or anything, you know, a lot of times they got those things on the ground that those spikes, you roll over them the right way and nothing happens to your tires. Well, this motherfucking rookie decides to roll over some tires, except he goes over them the wrong way and he just blew out every tire in his car. But anyway, the amusement for today. So that's why Harper is late. If I wasn't supposed to say that on a podcast, fuck me. I don't know. Shit. Harper, how you doing, man? Other than that, I thought you were late because Michelle Tafoya is on TV right now.
Right now.
Football. Right now she's on.
Oh, shit.
I thought that's what it was. I thought you were, you know, I thought you were taking care of some business, doing some Harperizing.
But she still look good.
No, of course she does. So, Harper, man, how was your week, man? You did anything for Labor Day? You, excuse me, Harperized any bitches or anything or what?
Hell no, bro. I was working.
Huh?
I was working, but Monday's Monday to me.
You got to make that money when you're self-employed and you're big-time pro wrestling star.
7 days a week, bro.
That's how I work, twice on Sunday.
That's right.
All right, so let's get into this shit because we got a lot to cover.
You were off dialing up Harper. I read the people this email that you got that you sent me. So they already know everything about it, but they wanted what the people have been waiting patiently while we brought Harper into this thing. What they want to know is your reaction to Ted and why you're going to say that he ain't the biggest babyface in the promotion.
Well, no, I mean, Ted sent this email to me, and he says, Mike, you're being hard on Triple H.
I've read all that.
Hold on. I don't give a shit. He's the perfect guy to help Owens. He's the biggest babyface in the promotion, considering how much he's done for NXT. What he did for Owens was perfect. Isn't Jericho my thing was, isn't Jericho like Owens' friend? That's his tag partner. Can he not run in? You know,
yeah,
he
for real,
Owens,
huh?
Him and Owens are two of the only fuckers on that roster that feel like they get any legitimate heat right now. But no, you know, Triple H has got to whip his little dick out and act like he's the one wearing the big fucking draws because he's got a fucking ego problem. It's just fucking bullshit. It's fucking hokey horse shit, as Jim Cornette always says. And I'm just fucking fed up with it. Look, I got a bunch of other emails from people saying the same thing. Oh, you're being hard on him. You know, my buddy TK, who always tweets the show, he's like, well, look, man, he said it sets things up down the line. Look, that's all great and all. I just don't like it. I think it's stupid. I think it's a very dumb idea. I think it's just Triple H's way of needing to put himself in the fucking spotlight because that's just what Triple H fucking does.
I said
yeah,
earlier.
It would have made so much more sense to have Triple H, Chris Jericho do it. It's his tag team partner. I mean, hello.
It just makes me mad to no end. They're just pissing me off a lot lately, and I don't like being like this because I actually am I think I'm the one of the three of us who a lot of times is like, you know, glass half full. I'm always glass half full. I'm like, look, man, it's, you know, let's stick with it. Let's see what happens. Let's see how the storyline develops. Not when they do this bullshit with Triple H. Fuck the storyline. Fuck that shit. I'm tired of it. Fuck Triple H. And I know that means I'll probably never land the WWE talent on the show because of that, but I'm just sick of it. And that just soured my whole night. You know, just like, it's been like that for 2 weeks. So anyway, that's my fucking rant. Ted, thank you for the email, but I just can't do it. And then these motherfuckers had the fucking nerve to throw Charlotte out there in a non-title match. So you just took the belt off my girl, Sasha Banks, who's the greatest fucking talent you got up there, or one of them, I'm sorry, the best women's wrestler in the world right now. You take the strap off of her, and the woman you put it on, who I don't have no problem with Charlotte having a belt, you fucking pin her in the middle of the ring in a non-fucking title match. I'm sorry, guys, but that's where I'm at. I'm just tired of it.
You give way more shit about this than I do. They've just made
me scared. Yeah, I'm scared. Yeah, that's how I feel. Fuck it.
That's how they, dude.
I told you what, not 2-3 weeks ago, you're like, what do you think of the new belts? I said, it don't matter what they look like because they're going to shit on them as soon as they get a chance. Well, there you go.
You know what? You're right. I like to argue with you and disagree with you on certain things, but you are 100% right. If you're going to do what you did to Charlotte on Monday night with those new belts, The belt's fucking pointless. Look, man, back in it. Here we go. We're going to go back to the territories because we're booking the fucking territory and we're loving our Smoky Mountain reviews we're doing right now. The thing about the territory days, Rick might not have won clean, and he might have got DQ'd a lot of times where the other person actually won, but the belt never changed hands. That shit didn't happen back in the day. All this fucking shit where you pinning the champ? Nah, it didn't work like that back in the day. When you pin the champ back in the day, you know what happened? The fucking belt changed hands. What a fucking novel fucking idea. Moving right along, because I really want to get to our top five, but I got a couple of things. Hey, real quick, because I skipped it at the top of the show, I do have some news to share with everyone. As of September the 8th, 2016, tonight, our all-new Smoky Mountain Wrestling, and I said wrestling, podcast t-shirts are up on Pro Wrestling Tees. So if you want to know how to get there, just go to Pro Wrestling Tees and go to their podcast stores, and you'll see ours as one of the top four on that page. But if you need another link, facebook.com/bookingtheterritory, and then if you click the shop now button, you can get to our Pro Wrestling Tees store with our t-shirts. It's a way to support the show where you're not even donating or using Amazon. Amazon, if you do use Amazon, remember, that's just kind of like whatever you're already going to spend, we'll get a little smaller amount in return. So we'd appreciate that. But I wanted to drop that about the Smoky Mountain show, because it's been kicking off. And I got to say, I want to say thanks to all of you who have downloaded it, that have listened to the main show that we do here, because we're getting a lot of downloads on it, man. It's actually, Doc, can you believe this? It's actually been more successful than this show, download-wise.
Because we're actually talking about wrestling that means some shit.
So that's where we're at with that. Doc, another thing from Raw. I know I said I wasn't going to do this. The Authority, they all need to take a note from, like, Chris Jericho. You know, Triple H mainly, or just anyone in general. How novel of a concept, an older guy who puts people over, like Seth on Monday night. You know what I'm saying?
He did the J-O-B, and you know what? He's still over.
That's what I was about to say. Did it take anything from him?
No. While we're at it, Enzo and Cass lost too. They didn't. They're still over. Well, they're still popular. They're not over.
They're not over.
Dude,
go ahead.
That fucking New Day promo with the old guys. Jesus Christ.
Boy. We were going there. What'd you think about that hokey horse?
You could hear a pin drop in that fucking building. I mean, your kid could have done that fucking math homework at that point, but it was just so fucking quiet. I was like, this is bad.
Did you hear the people? There were actually people in the front row going, "You suck." They may have edited it out on the Hulu version, but on Monday night, if you have it on your DVR, you can hear some guy in the front row going, "You suck!" Dude, it was pointless. Jesus Christ, it was pointless. I said it on Twitter. I was like, this is the type of shit you do when you have 3 hours to fill. It was pointless, and it served no purpose other than a time filler. And, you know, like Doc told me, he was like, "Bruh, the New Day's run its course." I'm like, I don't think that's the case. I just think that they just threw some shit up against the wall on Monday night to fill some time, and it just fucking floundered. It was terrible. Absolutely terrible. I did want to talk about one thing, and we're going through these quick before we get to our top five, because this top five this week is going to be – it's going to be crazy what we talk about.
I'm going to take a shit on everybody's childhood heroes.
Okay. But I had to bring this up because Doc and I had briefly talked about what MSL and Sullivan talked about related to Alberto Del Rio and Paige on the recent episode of MSL and Sullivan, which is one of the only podcasts that we really listen to other than 605 Super Podcast and Jim Cornette these days. And so Alberto Del Rio, from if you haven't heard by now, surely you have, and you're like, Doc, you got your elbows knee deep or your elbow deep in dirt sheets every day. They came to the terms of his release. I got my thoughts on this as far as, you know, what I think about it, but, you know, good for him for one. But, Doc, you heard the report. Man, what did you think about MSL when he said the WWE reportedly Mark Carano asked them to sever their relationship? Him and Paige and Alberto Del Rio.
You know, the thing is that I was listening to JR's podcast today, and he addressed this. And he said, you know, I was, you know, at one point years ago, and he said years ago, I was the VP of talent relations. He said, we had people date all the time. He goes, I wouldn't advise it, but I certainly wouldn't tell anybody they couldn't do it either. He goes, I find it hard to believe that anybody in Connecticut would have said anything to that end unless things have radically changed from when I was there. That doesn't seem like if we're going to be a corporation, and let's be clear that we are a corporation now, that kind of shit can't fly. You can't tell people that.
Obviously.
Yeah.
So do you believe MSL then?
Yeah.
I do.
There's,
I don't put anything past WWE at this point. I believe it. I really believe that they may have done that.
Well, the more criminal thing is how they completely botched and mismanaged Alberto Del Rio's return to the Federation.
Oh, my God. Yeah. When he came back, I was so happy to see him back, and then he did nothing.
Nothing. They did nothing.
And he may be the prime example of a guy who – writing means everything for that guy. Could be a star if you position him the right way.
Star. There's no could be.
He ain't Dusty. He can't get polka dots over. There ain't that many guys that can. But that guy could draw money if you put him in the right position.
They fucked him. I mean, dude, yeah. When he came back, he went over on Cena in like 7 minutes.
Man, it was like Vince has decided that Trump's gonna win. Build a wall and get rid of all the Mexicans so we don't need a Hispanic superstar.
Jesus, I'm not going to be there, but okay.
I didn't say I want that to happen, man. If I was up there at WWE, I'd get me a Hispanic star like Alberto Del Rio. I'd make him a baby face, and I would connect with that community.
They completely botched his second run.
I'm surprised they haven't done some stupid gimmick with Cena where they put a tilde over the N and call him Cena, John Cena, Juan Cena.
Juan Cena.
Because they don't want to deal with an actual brown person in a position at the top of the card.
I don't know, man, but I can tell you right now, they botched it with Del Rio. And
I'll tell you something else. His girlfriend's a hell of a performer, too.
Oh, yeah, Paige. Paige, yeah. When I rank the women in WWE right now, and I'm talking across the board, you know, whether it's SmackDown or Raw, I got Paige, Sasha, Becky Lynch, Natalya. Natalya's probably up above them, and Charlotte's starting to show me something. I got them up at the top.
Yep.
I mean, Paige is right up there. Paige is a phenomenal wrestler. I mean, she's been doing it since she was two, so, you know, she was doing it in her mother's womb. I mean, it doesn't surprise me that she's that good. Let me say that. So, I'm going to read a excerpt from a PW Torch talk from about 20 years ago on next week's episode that when I heard about the Del Rio story, this Torch talk talks about bad morale. I can't wait to read that. So that's a teaser for next
week.
But
you know, you talk about bad morale, but you know what I heard recently? And so this kind of trumps everything, because think about your job. I heard that the latest round of payoffs from video games and everything else has been really good, and that the talent's getting bigger checks than they expected.
You talking about WWE?
Mm-hmm.
Where'd you read this shit at? You want to cite the source? What dirt sheets you got down?
This was like about 5 or 6 weeks ago, and it was one of these guys like Wade Johnson Meltzer guy on some podcast that said that.
Really?
Yeah, it was one of those. It wasn't.
You believe Dave Meltzer these days?
Wow.
Wow.
You know why I say
nice.
That? No. Wow. You know why I say that? Because 4 months ago, 5 months ago, he said TNA was out of money.
He's got an axe to grind with TNA. He always has.
I'm just saying, And hey, look,
he must be the one person Dixie didn't blow at the Christmas party.
That's, go ahead, Aubrey.
That's real classy, bro. I ain't start going to those Christmas parties, man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, speaking of Christmas parties where some of that stuff may go down, we got a question from a guy named Rex Harper. Rex, and I could have sworn we asked you this last week, but we'll ask again. Rex has a question for Harper. He says, Harper, would you or would you not bang Nia Jax? And then would you claim it?
No doubt.
No doubt?
Yeah. No doubt.
I mean, wouldn't even think twice about it.
Yeah.
Okay. And would you claim it?
Yeah, man. Rock it out, man.
There you go, Rex. So,
what's that supposed to mean? Would I claim it? What are you trying to say?
Like, would you, like, would you, if somebody asked you about it, you'd be like, bruh, I sure did. And I ain't got no shame about it.
I think it means that yeah. you pull out and shoot ropes on her ass in the, and sign your name.
Jesus Christ.
Why do you talk like this?
I don't know what his issue is.
I'm ready for the top five. I am ready to destroy people's dreams.
We are slowly getting there, but I got to talk about one thing. So Sasha did not swerve me, contrary to popular opinion on Twitter, because I had a lot of people like tweeting me, you know, thinking I was about to be heartbroken. I knew she wasn't going to retire, but I will say this: the best part of that promo was I'm sitting in my bedroom watching Monday Night Raw when she comes out. First thing is, she comes out in the third hour. My wife ain't been in a room in damn near 3 hours. Soon as Sasha's music hits, it's like she's got fucking ESP. She walks through, sees her, gives it the side eye, keeps walking.
She walked in that room and said, Mike, why are your pants down?
So she then the music's still playing and Sasha's talking. And, you know, the promo, it went on for a little while. She's standing on side of the bed just looking at Sasha with this fucking nasty look. And she says, can this bitch just spit it out and get it over with?
She's tired of you. She's tired of Sasha. She's tired of the wrestling. She's tired of this podcast.
It's awesome. It's so awesome. It was awesome. Anyway, I had to tell that story. Moving right along as we continue with the Raw theme. So here's my thing. If KO loses to Roman next Monday on September the 12th, 2016, and gets to be in that three-way dance with KO, Seth, and Roman, I'm really going to be pissed. Because once again, the champ loses. Why in the fuck should I care about the title? I'm just saying.
I don't care what they do.
Yeah, I know you don't. That's why I went there. Oh, go ahead, Harper. I didn't mean to cut you off.
It's at the point now, bro. I don't give a shit, bro. I don't give a fuck who has the belt because it doesn't mean crap anymore.
They are completely just, to me at least, just alienating.
The champion used to mean so much. If you were the tag team champions, it was a big deal. Now it's like, who cares?
Hey, we got a Usos heel turn. I was like, I turned to my wife and I said, man, they turned the Usos to bad guys. I wonder what's happening on Better Call Saul.
The Usos turned.
That's a shout out for our longtime listeners.
Yeah, yeah. People that have been listening for a while, they know what that means. That means when the Usos come out, Harper would turn the channel and put on Better Call Saul on Netflix or Hulu. So. I agree. I don't care. It's funny because right when we get through the top five, I'm gonna throw it to some of my predictions, and I'm gonna go through them in like less than 60 seconds for Backlash on Sunday. Because I hate to say this, but I might actually watch Sunday Night Football Sunday night instead of the fucking pay per view. I'm just down on it.
I'm gonna be passed out drunk from Dak Prescott leading us to 1-0.
Fucking dreaming is what you're doing.
Who the Saints playing? I don't even know.
The Raiders.
Oh, okay.
0-1, bruh.
Yeah.
I have no faith. Drew Brees will get killed. He won't make it through a year. On to TNA. TNA, as we speak,
Delete.
So obviously we can't talk about the leader of the K, even though you're listening to this after Deleted Decay took place. But I can tell you this, based on social media and everything I've seen, it's gotten a lot of attention. So hopefully the ratings will be good. This NFL bullshit won't take away from it. The ratings did drop last week. They were at 351,000 for the 9-1 episode, September 1st. But anyway.
Man, you popped last week when they were playing the piano and all singing, and then
it was great.
The baby started playing the piano, and it made Matt Hardy have a premonition. That shit was great. It was awesome.
I'm going to tell you right now, besides Smoky Mountain that I'm watching so that we can do our Smoky Mountain shows that are getting great ratings that drop every Sunday night at 12 a.m., Monday morning, 12 a.m., I should say. Besides that, the TNA is on a roll. Their product is remarkable at this point. And let me say this. In comparison to the WWE, it's remarkable. What they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's different.
Yeah.
They're not trying to be WWE anymore. They're different.
Right. I got
you. And that's why I do that. Doc, what did you – let me say this. Moose cut a promo. I want to say that's one of the first promos I ever saw Moose cut.
Yeah, here's the –
Moose, believable.
Right. And Moose got like a communications degree when he was playing football in college, I think up at Syracuse maybe. So, I mean, I don't understand why ROH didn't let him loose. The Moose is loose. But yeah, and him turning babyface will be nice because he's got that perfect entrance music that just easy for the crowd to get into it, and that's just simple. And one of the things I've noticed, and tell me, is it just me or does it seem like with them being on a roll with some fresh talent in there and some fresh storylines and Dixie being the hell out, does it seem like the Impact Zone is a little bit louder than it used to be?
I know Harper hasn't watched it, you know,
no.
But I can tell you for a fact they are a lot louder than they used to be. They are actually into the matches. Moose comes out, they do the Moose chant, you know, with the arm pulling down from the sky. The crowd in the Impact Zone is very much, much louder than they used to be. It's a big difference. You can hear it. You can hear it and you can see it. Now, are they being directed because they're on a soundstage? I don't fucking know, but I can tell you this much: they are much louder. You know, hopefully they'll get their money situation right, and maybe they can tour again. I would say if they tour, they treat it kind of like ROH does, and you know, go into the fucking small buildings that fit 400, 500 people. Don't try to go into big buildings. It makes no sense. So
I'm going to say I'm looking forward to watching the next deletion, final deletion tonight when we get done. I'm looking forward to seeing what they put together because I was kind of neutral on the last one, but I will give them the – they're turning the Hardys back babyface, and Decay – this is built for Decay to be as creepy as they have been and take it to the next level. So they got me. I'm interested.
I'm going to say this, Delete or Decay, I'm more looking forward to watching that on TNA this week than I am Backlash on Sunday.
I don't even know.
By far.
I don't even know which show Backlash is attached
to. It's the SmackDown pay-per-view.
Oh, is it? Yeah. I
see, look, you just validated my point, Harper. You're like, oh, is it?
I made it.
Yeah, I didn't even know what the, bro. I don't care anymore.
I don't either. That's what's sad.
I turned it off. I made an hour and 40 minutes in to SmackDown, and I was like, I pushed pause to go put my kid to bed. I was like, oh, they'll probably AJ Styles will be out next. I came back out. I looked at it, paused. I looked at the clock, and I just went, man, fuck this, and turned off the TV.
it's real hard. The thing is, we're classic wrestling guys, so the territories were our thing, and what they're doing now is just, I think part of it too, I don't want to say that they don't, and I said this a couple weeks ago, they have some good things going on, but the problem is, there's too much, and I'm just saturated, I'm oversaturated, they're giving me too much, and it's quality, okay. It's quantity over quality, and I'm tired of
it. Well, here's a simple, they've done it before too. But it would be so simple. And I'm not saying it's the way they should go. It ain't money like Mandingo is. Hashtag Mandingo. But why not have Triple H out there the next night and say, I'm tired of dealing with these guys, that my handpicked guys that have their own ideas. Kevin Owens, we picked you out of NXT, but you got to wear a suit. Well, he's the sloppiest bastard ever. So we spend a couple of weeks trying to get – they did this with Foley. But it's, you know, it's just – at least it explains why Triple H did that.
They're trying to slow burn. Like
they didn't explain it yet?
They didn't explain nothing. We didn't get anything on Monday. Which is weird when you got 3 hours. Like, they didn't advance any of it. Anyway, fuck it. I don't care anymore.
I would love to see them tell Owens, you got to – like, earlier today, and Triple H is on the phone like, Owens, it's your big night tonight. You need to show up looking like a champ. So Owens shows up in his KO t-shirt and tie on, just like he did when he was at the booth a couple of weeks ago. No, no, Kevin, that's not what we mean. And they show Kevin Owens really struggling with it. Something. Shit.
It's very true.
He really wants to be the champ. He wants to be the guy, but he can't get it right because he's a slob. And he's an ass.
Yeah. Very, very, very true. Hey, real quick, we had a couple of hashtag BTT pod tweets. Gino's Baked Good says, I won't be working tonight, boss. I'm here with H-Town football team partying all night. Hashtag BTT pod, hashtag 8 balls, hashtag partying like 1981. Mullet of Morton, Doc, he loved your Titus angle. He said, hoot, talking about the Eye of Gibson. Almost drove off the road in my work truck when Doc booked the Titus angle on this week's BTT pod. Hashtag BTT pod.
You know what he didn't do? Pop at anything he saw on WWE TV. So there you go.
I would agree on that. So that was Gino's Baked Goods. And I did have one Denim Fritz one that I thought was really funny. He said, coming soon to the Sportatorium, the Iceman Parsons School of Dance and Boogie. Just wrong. Gino told me he snuck his girl's back door last night. I told him it's more polite to use the front door and ring the bell. So anyway, just a little Denim Fritz. Hey, go follow our friend at Denim Fritz 605. Denim is really, really, really cool. Fun WWE polls. He ran a poll on which show won the week, which I didn't this week. SmackDown Live won it again. No, he did SmackDown and Raw, you know, that poll. So I think since it started, SmackDown has won every week besides one week. So that kind of tells you about the two shows and what people think. Now, I will say this. I think he ran a poll as well. I'm looking for it as I'm scanning. 23% is about Raw, whether it was great, good, okay, or terrible. 39% said okay, 23% said terrible, 11% said great, 27% said good. Whoever thought Raw was great, your standards are just low.
Yeah, that's your kid. They don't know any better.
Yeah, who hasn't seen anything else? That's the only thing I think. Come on. iTunes, we got a bunch of 5-star reviews. So here's what's happening on this week's episode. Check at the end of our episode, I'm going to put it at the very end of it. I read out the names of the people who gave us 5-star reviews. Now, if you gave us a 5-star review, your name is going to go into a hat and you will get something. So, but you got to listen at the very end of the show what that'll be.
A hand job from Mike.
No, from Harper.
Well from Harper. Yeah. Just close your eyes.
Yeah. I got questions about the Battle of Atlanta between Tommy Rich and Buzz Sawyer this week. We got like a bunch of questions about that the WWE posted on the network. Look, I ain't had time to watch it. I'll watch it next week, kind of give my thoughts on it. But, I thought that was kind of cool that they did put that, on the network. I mean, that's cool if they found it.
One match class. In, 10,000 more to go.
Yeah, really. Anyway, it was a bloodbath, though. So the Battle of Atlanta between Tommy Rich, and Buzz Sawyer. Tommy Rich, that guy's a classy dude, let me tell you, Doc.
Someday we're going to get you to tell the stories you have about Tommy Rich. Maybe on the Smoky Mountain podcast one day when we get to that.
That'll be a good idea because it's kind of fun.
Unless anyway. You were going to tell them later in our overrated list, but whatever.
No, I won't tell it any overrated. Tommy Rich isn't overrated. I mean, he's why he wouldn't make my overrated list. He wasn't overrated. He also wasn't underrated. He's just a guy.
That's a former NWA World Heavyweight Champion,
sir. That former NWA World Champion, I swore, drunk 6 pitchers of beer before a match one night and went out there and worked. How he did it, I have no clue. But anyway, real quick, I got to read this article, and then we're going to get to the top five because I found this to be very, very – Harper, you'll appreciate this because, Harper, what year did you graduate from high school?
96.
All right, so in 96, that summer, were you watching the Monday Night Wars as everything was playing out with Nitro and Raw?
No, God, I was neck deep into that shit.
All right, so you'll appreciate this article. I found this article online. It's from – it was on the PW Torch. Somebody got it from the PW Torch site. So it was Wade Keller's PW Torch, and it was from their June 1st, 1996 issue. And I thought, you know, as we talk a lot about classic wrestling, I was like, you know, I'm going to dig for stuff on the internet because, honestly, the classic stuff is much more entertaining than the current stuff. So Wade Keller had this article – and it was referencing the night that Scott Hall actually made his debut on WCW. And this is what Wade Keller wrote. It's a little lengthy, but I just find it's funny how when you listen to this and you see how it played out, it's interesting. So he says, WCW had been waiting for the moment Scott Hall could debut on Nitro. For that moment would begin a master plan to turn the WWF's mockery of WCW in WCW's favor. Hall debuted on the May 27th Monday Night Nitro of 1986 by walking out of the crowd. If you remember, he had jeans on and a denim jacket.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Denim Fritz. He took your idea, Denim Fritz. Scott Hall had jeans and a denim jacket on. I just realized that. So at Denim Fritz 605, man, he stole your idea. He stole your gimmick. He interrupted the match and said over the house mic that he goes wherever he wants and he is in WCW to take over. He later challenged billionaire Ted to present the 3 of his toughest wrestlers to face us. And then Wade Keller says that us is the key to WCW having one of its best summers ever. Now, remember, this is before it all happened. So
yeah.
This is only when Hall debuted. He says the us is 3 wrestlers. Hall, Kevin Nash, and Lex Luger. So Luger was supposed to be the 3rd guy. And then
right.
It says Nash will show up and join Hall. They will tease that 3rd member of Team WWF that they, of course, won't be called Team WWF, arrived last September and has been spying for them, infiltrating WCW, so to speak. When it's revealed that Luger has been a WWF spy all along, we will explain why Luger has jumped from one camp to another in seamlessly endless angles and directionless storylines so he could infiltrate WCW. But anyway, it goes on to talk a little bit more about, like, what, you know, what went on and how DiBiase came in. But I thought that was kind of interesting that at that point in time, remember, nothing had played out, that the actual 3rd guy at that point, because, you know, Keller was connected back then. He was talking to people on the inside. Not that he doesn't now, but that it was going to be Luger. How big of a mistake would have that been?
God. Yeah.
That's my curb. I agree.
Because I remember watching it when it first happened. And as soon as it fucking went on TV, I blew up my friend David's phone. I was like, dude, did you just see that shit? And we start putting fantasy matches. Okay, it's going to be Sting versus Shawn Michaels and this and that. Because that's what we thought. And when Hogan turned, that was it Bash at the Beach? I couldn't believe it. Yeah, I couldn't fucking believe it. He's a bad guy now.
It was crazy. I mean, it was a crazy time. I mean, you know, back then you could do the invasion angle and it would get over. I mean, there's too many leaks now. But it was. Doc, quick question. If it's Luger, does that storyline play out the way it would have?
Well, now if you go back and watch when Luger comes back on the very first Nitro, it makes sense that that's how they were positioning it, because it was, well, what's he here for? Why is he here? And then Sting
right.
was
yeah.
up for him and being like, mm-hmm. no, he's cool. I've talked to him. He's cool.
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, Sting, what's your deal now? So it kind of makes sense that they were setting it up, but Lex Luger was just a guy.
Yeah.
Well, it, like, the funny part is, like,
and here's the other thing. If you say he's on Team WWF, if I said, I've always thought of him as a WCW guy, not
yeah,
a WWF
for real.
Guy.
That's true.
Yeah, because he was a horseman.
Right. That's a different story.
Much different story. Well, and Keller went on to say in his article, which I found very interesting, is, again, Team WWF was supposed to be Hall, Nash, Luger, and DiBiase at the very beginning. And they will end up getting the better of Team WCW, including most notably Sting and Randy Savage. It will be, listen to this, and if this doesn't sound like the name I'm about to say, I don't know what does. It says, it will be after a period of weeks or months of Team WWF getting the better of WCW that Hogan will return and save the day. The plan is for Hogan to then soundly end up the victor and symbolically beat the WWF, something he will take great satisfaction in after the way the WWF depicted him as the huckster in the skits on Raw. You young bucks out there who haven't seen this, there were these skits that they made that WWF was doing to make fun of Hulk Hogan.
How do you know the young bucks haven't seen that?
Not young bucks, literally, but you youngsters out there. And then Keller says, if WCW plays their cards right, it should be an eventful and profitable summer and fall. I just find it funny that the original plan was for Hogan to save the day. It's a good thing he reconsidered and he ended up being the third man. Because I think that would have been hokey, but whatever. Nobody wanted to see Hogan save the day at that point. Are we ready for our top five, Doc?
God damn, I'm ready.
Okay. So here's the thing.
My honorable mention is the top five.
Okay. Hold on. Harper, I got a feeling this is going to make you upset. Just warning you in advance. I'm just warning you in advance.
Right.
Some of them may. But anyway. So we got the top five most overrated wrestlers of all time. And I just need to put this note out there. I quote some title reigns in my top fives. And some of these title reign numbers I will quote maybe a little off. And the reason is because our lovely WWE, largest corporation there is, they've convoluted many of these titles and the lineage of them. That it's basically next to impossible to quote an exact number of title reigns. So if you hear me mention a number of title reigns and you're like, no, that's not right, he had it 11 times instead of 9, I'm not going to argue with you, because – the way they fucked the belts up, WWE, with the buyout when they bought WCW and all this good stuff and ECW. I mean, look, it's kind of convoluted. So anyway, Doc, let's go, Doc. We'll get it started, man. Kick off your number five. Again, top five overrated wrestlers of all time.
My five names are so huge, I did absolutely zero research because I don't think it's necessary. Every member of my top five is a Hall of Famer, for sure. Number five, the Apex Predator, Randy Orton.
Oh, wow.
I don't get it. I've never gotten it, and I hear Ric Flair say he's the best wrestler on that roster. He cut a promo the other night on Raw, and I was like, what is he talking about? Why? Shut up. Stop.
He's not on Raw. He's on SmackDown.
That show, whichever one he's on.
Yeah,
and,
whatever.
And I've never gotten it. And I think he's hopefully matured, but he was an ass back in the day and entitled. And there you go. Randy Orton, number five.
I know why you're saying that, because you've read a lot of dirt sheets that he takes liberties with people. That's where that shit's coming from.
I'm going to take some liberties with you if you don't pick your number five.
I would fucking stretch you so bad, it wouldn't be funny. My number five is Lex Luger. Look, Lex
Jesus
looked like a
Christ.
Million. Lex looked like a million bucks. He had the physique of a Greek god.
Yeah,
but
that guy's clothesline was horrible.
He Lex couldn't cut a promo better than
my And the way he would sell, like, his selling was so overdone.
for a big guy. I mean, he was just limited. You know, I'm not shitting on Lex too much, but let's be real. If Lex doesn't have the physique he has.
No. If he didn't look like a walking action figure, no.
Right, right. And, I mean, look, where else do I have him? Like, why else do I have him overrated at number five? Lex, listen to this. Y'all going to love this. Lex won the WCW World title when it fucking meant something two times. He was a five-time NWA WCW U.S. champ. He's a two-time World Television champ. Look, for the record, again, this is at a time when titles did matter with the NWA and WCW. Let's remember that. Here's the thing about Lex. If you drop him into 2016.
Jesus Christ.
He would. I'm not going to say he'd fall flat on his face, but the crowd would be like.
He's Braun Strowman.
You're insulting Braun Strowman when you say that.
Yeah.
Braun Strowman, I guarantee you Braun Strowman, hole for hole, promo to promo, could outwork Lex Luger in his prime. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Lex Luger's on my honorable mention. So I think it's a I have no problem with this.
So, and I really hope the guys that we list don't, you know, I'm not trying to shit on him. I'm just saying he's overrated.
I'm trying to shit on mine.
Okay. All right, well, I'll go to my number four. Here it comes. Kevin Nash. Let me say this before people overreact and say I'm fucking crazy.
Who the fuck would say that?
Nash was in the right. Good point, Harper. You believe me, dude. They got people out there who are. Here's the thing about Nash.
Dude, he was the worst WWE champion. The lowest time was when he was their champion, when they made the less money.
You have a great point. I didn't even have that as one of my notes. All I was going to say was, you're right, though, Harper. I mean, you're right. He was in the right place at the right time. And what I mean by that, he's a good worker, and he's got a decent wrestling mind. I mean, you know, no shade on him.
He's a hell
the
of
key
a
word
politician.
Is good. He's a hell of a politician, and that takes you a long way in wrestling, let me tell you. So when I say underrated, I'm talking about in-ring and all that good stuff. That's what I meant. He was a big guy. And here's the thing about Nash. He was a big guy in the business when big guys mattered. And him and Scott Hall caught lightning in a fucking bottle with the NWO, and they ran with it like anyone would have done. I don't take nothing away from him during that time period because dude, you got to remember, it's crazy when you say he's overrated because they set the world on wrestling world on fire in a huge boom period. But him by himself was not a great worker. Here's the other thing. His history of titles killed me. I was like, what? This dude was a five-time WCW World Champ, nine-time WCW World Tag Team Champ, one-time WWF IC Champ, Intercontinental, two-time WWF Tag Champ, one-time WWF World Champ until the point Harper made. That's when they were in their lowest period. That's a whole lot of titles for a guy that was good but not great. I'm just saying. You know, guys like Kevin Owens and AJ Styles nowadays, hell, even John Cena, they'd work circles around Kevin Nash if Nash was in his prime right now.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
Your number four, Doc.
Goldberg.
Goldberg?
Goldberg.
I think that's very unfair, but go ahead. Tell me why.
Go back and watch Steven Regal tie him up like a pretzel one night on live television.
I think Goldberg held it. I'm not a Goldberg fan, never have been, but he's not. I think he held his own against a shooter in there in that match. I ain't saying Regal didn't do some things. I'm just saying I think he held his own.
I didn't get it. It didn't do anything for me. There was a time when that roster was loaded and he jumped by a bunch. But past a bunch of dudes and dudes I'd rather see wrestle. So the wrestling fans are wrong by anointing this guy.
You're blaming booking on him, though.
I'm blaming booking.
The worst thing he did was to have him lose, man.
Kevin Sullivan has said that. Kevin Sullivan has said that too.
Man.
Kevin Sullivan has said that. You know that, Doc. Sullivan is not down on Goldberg, but he said that. He said the worst thing we could do was when we had him lose. So I don't know, Doc. I don't agree with that.
I have no. And there's talk right now of him coming back. Don't. Just don't.
Well, now I agree with that. I don't want to see him come back.
Yeah, man. I don't want to see that now.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's a novelty if he comes back. It's just a novelty act.
He'll make some condition where the only way he'll come back is if he gets to pin somebody who has to stay there and try to get over. And that's why nobody's over.
I'm not. I don't want him to come back. I don't know if they're just bullshitting, but I don't want him to come back. Nah. Doc, you're number three, man.
The Ultimate Warrior.
That doesn't shock me. You want to tell us why?
What's the most exciting thing about the guy was him running to the ring. He'd blow up running to the ring. His promos were garbage. His ring work was terrible. And I got an eyeful of that son of a bitch down in Dallas when he was the Dingo Warrior in World Class. He was shit then. He did used car commercials here in Dallas.
I bet you Harper liked Warrior. Maybe not.
I don't know.
Since he's not talking.
Right. But just a guy who, man, you talk about just a product of that WWE machine where merch and bullshit trumps actual in-ring athletic wrestling competition.
I would have to agree. I think we lost Harper. Let me see if he texts me back. But anyway, I agree. I don't want to say I agree, but, you know. I mean, Warrior was what he was. So we're at number three. So let me go to my number three. I wanted Harper for this. Hulk Hogan was my number three. Look, I grew up during the Hulkamania phase. He was the perfect character during that time period for Vince McMahon to get the kids on board and to capitalize on the merchandise. And he did that quite well. That's it. Hulk Hogan is a terrible professional wrestler. Terrible. I don't know if there's a guy who won more titles for reputable organizations than Hulk Hogan. His title history included, you know, he's six-time WWF world champ. He had some long title runs at that. He was a six- or eight-time WCW world champ. I found conflicting info on that. It's still a shitload of reigns, though, whatever way you want to look at it. So one site referenced six times, one site referenced eight times. He was 90 and 91 Royal Rumble winner, two-time AWA world champ. Again, I found conflicting data.
Yeah, I don't know that those are real.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I found conflicting data, so don't hold my feet to the fire on that one. But yeah, Hulk Hogan. Look, I mean, I grew up during Hulkamania, so I understand why people feel that way about him. But he was a fucking whatever. That was my number three. I have a feeling he's going to be on Doc's list, even though we didn't talk about this. So I'll just go to my number two right now. And Doc actually named my number two a little while ago. My number two is the Ultimate Warrior. I mean, Warrior could do things that got kids and the fans up and cheering. And he ran to the ring like he had just taken a shitload of the best pre-workout. I mean,
like he got into Mullet of Morton's eight ball to run.
That's exactly it, dude. He act like he got into Mullet of Morton's eight ball right before he fucking ran to the ring. And I mean, he fucking ran out. Kids went batshit crazy. The promos did nothing for me. They were terrible. You know, you hear people talk about it and say, oh, and I respect Roddy Piper. He was like, well, he was talking to the kids. Yeah, I understand that. But
I won't talk to my kids with that garbage.
He didn't win as many titles as the other people on my list, but I think that's because he wouldn't play ball as well.
The only two people that have been as famous as the Warrior to spew as much nonsense when they speak publicly are Donald Trump and Jerry Jones, where you just look and go, what did they just fucking say? If you read a transcript of those three people, you'd go, this isn't English as I understand it.
Jerry Jones, to be honest with you, he's the one too that he would compete with Warrior, but maybe not in the same way. Jerry Jones just feeds you so much bullshit, you're like, Jesus Christ, just shoot me. Warrior, though.
Just like, I'll believe you if you'll just shut up.
Yeah, just shut up. Yeah, like the thing about Warrior is, he was a two-time Intercontinental Champion. He only won the WWF World Champ once, from what I saw and tried to look up. He did win the WCCW Texas and World Tag Team Championship when it still kind of meant something towards the end of WCCW. And I know Denim Fritz, WCCW is still going on. So, you know, no shade against that, man. Your promotion is doing great. They drew a million people to the Texas Stadium show a couple weeks ago. I have to ask Denim Fritz what he was thinking when he put those titles on Warrior, a.k.a. Dingle Warrior at the time.
And here's the thing, and let's don't get it twisted. We're not trying to spit on a man's grave. I'm sorry that the man died. He had children.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He had
a wife. About that.
And, you know, him coming back to the promotion, and he seemed like a loving father. But that don't mean I want to watch him wrestle or listen to him cut promos. So these are two different things. So we need everybody to apply the right level of maturity here. Don't want anybody to die here or be dead, but – his wrestling career was garbage, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's just no disrespect to the Ultimate Warrior. I mean, he left behind kids. It's sad what happened. So, but Warrior was Ultimate Warrior. Warrior is my number two. Doc, I'll throw it over to you. Who's your number two?
Man, I expect this one to garner some reaction. My number two is the Stinger, Sting.
I should fucking hang up on you right now and just end tonight's podcast.
I've never been a fan of that guy. And I think, boy, here we go. I think he's a slightly more skilled version of the Ultimate Warrior. If you go back and listen to some of the nonsense he used to spew in some of his early promos, it was terrible. Just terrible. And so he was the painted face, muscled up dude. He used to be in a tag team with the Ultimate Warrior. He was the WCW version of the Ultimate Warrior. And the reason that he probably learned and got better is instead of having to work with Hogan, he got to work with Ric Flair.
You sound stupid.
Whatever you think, pal, partner.
You sound stupid.
Never, really stupid. Never been a fan.
Okay.
Don't get it.
I mean, if you say so.
I don't get it. It's a bunch of crap. He stood up during the rafters for a year. I don't give a shit.
Can you do your number one? Because I'm not even going to dignify that with a response. I'm not even going to respond because it was just that dumb.
Why?
Because it's dumb. I mean, that's just disrespectful to Sting. Your idol, Ric Flair, respects Sting.
That's great.
No, it's more than great.
He also thinks Randy Orton's awesome, too. Okay.
You're comparing two different careers with Orton and Sting, and they're not even comparable.
Orton likes them both.
All right. Who's your number one? Because that's a terrible number two. First, the fact that he'd be on the list. And then second, the fact that he's number two on your overrated list.
I didn't say I was going to send Seth Rollins a Christmas card for retiring him, but maybe I should.
Okay. Can we go to number one? Because you're being very disrespectful right now.
Well, you know something, brother.
I knew that was coming. You're going to get heat with Hulk's head.
I don't
add Hulk's head on Twitter is going to be mad with you.
Let me tell you something. I like Hulk's head on Twitter infinitely more than I like Hogan because there's a bunch of other shit. You know, you mentioned a bunch of the stuff earlier because I think he was your number three. How about this?
Yeah.
He goddamn ruined shit with his stupid, selfish, creative control that he pulled in the back that just made it impossible to do anything. And working that light schedule and showing everybody bad habits in that WCW locker room. He probably taught Kevin Nash how to be a politician. He didn't want to lose. He was look, I get it. My favorite wrestler was a mark for himself. And I guess if I was Ric Flair, I'd be a mark for myself too. But there's no bigger mark for themselves than Hulk fucking Hogan.
You know, you and Hulk Hogan have a lot in common.
Shut up.
You both think you're the whole fucking show, and neither one of you know a fucking top wrist lock from a wristwatch.
Whatever.
You realize that, right?
Shut up. So
I'm just saying.
So, and furthermore, Hogan is the guy who executed Vince's vision that led us to this bullshit that we are where we are today.
So now you're blaming Hogan for killing the territories, too.
Yes.
Okay. Well,
and the truth of the matter, I heard somebody say this not too long ago. How many guys in 1983 or 1984 made a living, full-time living, don't work at the anywhere else, full-time living wrestling versus today?
Oh, I mean, come on, man. It's not even comparable. Although, it's getting better.
It's getting better.
It's getting better. It's getting better. It is improved. You've got indie guys now who are able to support themselves. Yeah. And they've made a career out of it. So, yeah, I agree. I mean, no, you're right.
Well, I thought I would get going there with a top three of Ultimate Warrior, Sting, and Hogan. That's
Warrior and Hogan, I can understand. Sting,
I just went down the hallowed halls of the WWE Hall of Fame, taking a big dub everywhere.
Well, I mean, I got Hall of Famers in mind too. I mean, we all got Hall of Famers, but you're just fucking dumb with the Sting comment. That's asinine.
Okay.
Just so you know. So anyway.
Agree to disagree.
Okay. Well, my number one, I'm not going to shock anyone with this. I mean, it's a known fact how I feel.
Oh, no. Is it time to play the game?
Do I really need to tell you why Triple H? Why I really need to tell you why that motherfucker's overrated?
This has gotten personal between you and Paul, except Paul doesn't know you exist.
Okay, so hold on. Five fucking times this fucking bitch has held the World Heavyweight title. Let me remind you, this is the big gold belt that I'm referring to when I say World Heavyweight title, which was the previous WCW NWA belt after the buyout. He's also a nine-time, in addition to the big gold belt that he held, a nine-time, nine motherfucking time WWF/WWE World Heavyweight champ. He is also a five-time WWE Intercontinental Champ and a two-time European Champ when they had the European title. Two-time WWF/E World Tag Team Champ. Now, I've heard people I respect like Jim Ross say that Triple H would still be where he is now even if he hadn't married the boss's daughter. If anyone out there believes that, I got some cheap fucking swamp land in Louisiana that I can sell you that you can turn into $1 million overnight.
Where he is today, what do you mean by that?
As you know,
would he,
in
be,
his,
would he be the COO? Oh, hell no. He
right.
married into that. Do I think he would wear his place on the card? I think he was enough of a politician and decent enough in the ring that he probably could have got there.
I agree. I'm not taking that away from him. And I was about to say that. Is he a great worker? He's a better worker than anyone else on this list that I've named by far. On my top five, which includes The Warrior, Hulk Hogan, Kevin Nash, and Lex Luger. He's got all them beat hands down. He's got them beat. He is talented beyond belief. But on my list for my money, he's a boot-licking, fucking just ass-kissing wrestler that gets far too much credit by many. I mean, he just kissed ass, and look where it got him. And he married the boss's daughter. And he's still putting himself over out there today when, you know, once again, how's your territory doing? Huh, Doc? Motherfucker, you just spit on every territory known to man. You spit on what made the sport of professional wrestling great, the territories. Don't fucking ever say, how's your territory doing? And maybe that's the root cause of my disdain right now for WWE. Maybe that's what it is.
I like how you said I was being disrespectful to Sting when your first comment about Triple H was calling him a fucking bitch. Pot meat kettle.
I hate him. I just hate him.
That's how I feel about Hogan. I never liked Hogan when I was 10 years old in 1984. I did not like Hulk Hogan. Never.
I hate him. I just hate Triple H.
I damn near jumped through my TV when he spray painted NWO or that yellow streak on Ric Flair in like 1998. I get it.
He got heat, brother. See, that's the thing about Triple H. He don't get heat. He's just got, can you go the fuck away?
Well, and Cornette's always said about Triple H is that he's the guy in the ring with the guy that's drawing the money.
Right. You have to be a great worker to be able to do that. But the thing is, it's the guy you're against that's drawing the money.
Yeah.
So, I just, fuck him.
You got any honorable mentions?
I didn't even have honorable mentions, man. I didn't even get that far. Who you got?
Boy, this one was my 5B. Jeff Hardy. Man, people love that son of a bitch, and I have never gotten it.
I don't see that, but okay. Who else you got?
Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, you're asking for people to spit on your grave. That is stupid for you to say that, but keep going.
I think he's okay. Remember, overrated and me hating somebody. Now, on my top upper list, yeah, I didn't like him and they're overrated. This list, you know, I like Daniel Bryan, all right? Here's one that's going to be interesting. Kerry Von Erich.
Denim Fritz. He's going to whip your ass if he ever meets you.
I love.
I can't say he's overrated.
I love the Von Erichs, man. I love the Von Erichs. I was in the right time, the right age, at the right place. But to me, and this is just me, I always thought David was the best, and for some reason Kevin worked for me better, and so I liked Kerry because I liked them all, but he was. Everybody else made him the guy, and to me, he was the third Von Erich.
Yeah, but even if he's the third, I mean, that's not a bad place.
No, it's a little overrated. That's all I'm saying. It crossed my radar. Here's one. Rey Mysterio.
I don't think he was overrated. I think he was good for what he was, which was a cruiserweight at first, and. In WCW, and I mean, he ended up winning the big gold belt, which was the old WCW championship.
So here's the thing. Here's the reason it did it for me.
It's because of what WWE did with him.
Well,
not necessarily.
Sort of. First time I saw him was a 2 out of 3 falls match with Juventud Guerrero in ECW, and I was like, what the shit?
That was incredible, too. I remember that.
Yeah, and then he showed up in WCW, and they did something to him that ruined him for me. It was when Kevin Nash threw him like a dart into that trailer. At that outside deal at the NWO thing, he launched like a dart, and I was like, he's tiny. And that, I can't believe it. And once that got in my head, he could wrestle other guys that size, a Benoit, Malenko, those guys. But he started going to WWE and fighting like normal-sized dudes, and I was like, I can't believe it, because I saw him get thrown like a dart one Monday night.
But once again, you're blaming the booking on that and not him.
Overrated's overrated, son.
No, you're blaming the booking of him, and not the fact that he was overrated.
Sometimes you gotta.
Those things are two different things.
Sometimes you gotta keep the promotion from burying your ass.
Here's
one. For me, the British Bulldog.
I don't think he was overrated. I just think he was rightfully placed. It's not like he won world championships over and over. I mean,
okay, so I will skip past that one to a guy that I'm surprised neither one of us said that did win world championships. How about Sid?
Yeah, I mean,
Sid's
Sid's
in that Luger camp.
I just don't. The reason I wouldn't put Sid in that same Luger camp is because Sid, to me, didn't have the hype that Luger had. Luger got the hype. Sid, to me, didn't get the hype.
Well, Luger went to WWE and was considered to be the next. He was the guy that was going to be the new Hulk Hogan. And there's a real problem with that. Hogan, overrated piece of shit, whatever, racist son of a bitch. He had charisma, and Luger didn't. And that's a big problem. Bruce Pritchard has a really good podcast he started. And he talks about, they talk about Lex Luger in the WWE, and he goes, you know, Luger was an introvert. Luger wanted to be alone. Luger didn't want to mix with people. That's kind of what the champ does in WWE, if you're the babyface.
Yeah, that's true. Wrestling in general, I mean, you're going to be alone sometimes, but that's a business where you got some social.
You know
skills.
Who gets to be alone? Kamala. Everybody else, go meet with the fans.
Okay. Who else you got? Who else you got?
Paint a banana on my tummy.
Oh man, that was a great story.
My last honorable mention is a guy that I hate more than anybody else but Hogan. Do you know who I'm talking about?
No.
How about if I give you a hint?
Okay.
Quite frankly.
Oh, Eric Bischoff, but he's not a wrestler.
Doesn't matter. That guy's an overrated son of a bitch who rode other people's coattails, who recently buried Kevin Sullivan's role in WCW to put himself over. And that's a guy who drafted himself into being a politician and playing both sides against the middle and being in the right place and not really knowing how to make things happen and to use generic corporate speak to get his point across. I hate to steal our friends at 605, Brian Last's comment, but fuck that guy.
He doesn't say fuck that guy. He says fuck those guys.
Exactly.
But
it's a variation. But, you know, Bischoff had heat with Ric Flair and Stone Cold Steve Austin. Those are two guys that you might not want to have heat with. And they may say they're buddies today, but what would happen if we had a – if so-and-so wins, he gets 5 minutes alone with Bischoff. What do you think would happen? It'd be straight
– Well, I mean, I think, too, that the bygones are bygones, too, as
you
well.
Think?
I mean, it's – Well, I just think it's been so many years that, and in Austin's case, he went on to make millions. So it's kind of like he looks back and he's like, you know, fuck it. I mean, why do I want to be mad at that guy? My career path ended up fine. Now, if his career path doesn't end up the way it does, we may be having a different discussion is what I'm saying. So, no, long story short, though, I would like to believe there may be some people that if you put him in a room with him, you know, for a minute and gave him a minute alone, there may be some people who would whip Bischoff's ass.
So we disagreed a little bit this week more than usual, but do you agree that Bischoff's overrated?
Bischoff was very much overrated. He's just not a wrestler, and one of the stipulations was we said top five most overrated wrestlers of all
time. I ask you about that because I would also put Vince on the list if we went that way because Vince has ridden a long time off of just a couple of decisions.
Yeah, so...
My list was definitely better than yours, so this was fun again.
Okay, whatever you say. Moving on from the list, because it was – and send us feedback. One of our listeners, TK, also said, T-Hog94 said, hey, send us in your top five most overrated. So if you're listening to this, tweet it to us at BTT_podcast and tweet us your – most overrated top five, and I'll go through them, and if we get some that are really, really good, I'll read them on air. So at BTT_podcast, send us your overrated top five, and that would be cool. So here's my predictions on Backlash that I know as we record this, as we started it at 7:30 Central Time on September the 8th with the pay-per-view Backlash coming up. Here's what I got real quick, and I'm going to go through this in probably a minute and a half. My predictions for Backlash card. Give me Dean Ambrose in the Ambrose-Styles match for the strap. Yeah, I said strap. I think Ambrose will win, although I would love to see Styles win. I got Miz retaining the Intercontinental title against Dolph. I think Orton goes over on Bray because, you know, Bray's a Wyatt, and the Wyatts lose on pay-per-views most of the time. I got Heath Slater and Rhino getting the new SmackDown tag titles. And then give me Becky Lynch with the new SmackDown women's belt she wins. And honestly, my excitement level is about a 3 out of 10, where 10 means I can't wait and 1 means I'm just not interested. So those are my predictions on the matches that have been announced at this point of Backlash on Sunday. I'm not even going to ask Doc because, quite frankly, Doc, you don't care.
I'll predict that I'll be watching the NFL that night.
I'll probably be watching both just to be honest with you. So, you know, it is what it is.
Does this do anything for you? It'll be the Patriots and the Cardinals.
I don't know. Maybe a little bit. It depends how I feel, you know. I mean, because I got a feeling the Saints are going to get fucking washed, at home.
Hey, I know you hate football, but I don't know if you heard something since we talked earlier in the day. Did you hear that the Seahawks are going to have a big show of support for Colin Kaepernick Sunday?
Well, they're all going to sit down?
I don't know. I didn't get a chance to read it, but I got somebody hit it at me before we went on the air. So it looks like the Seahawks might be planning something.
Okay, whatever.
Okay, well, you hate football. What a girl.
Free country, dude, whatever. I mean, as long as you're not killing somebody. I don't want to get into a political discussion. That's for whenever we finally get Jim Cornette, if it ever happens, you know. But he'll let him talk politics all day long, whatever. Hey, man, we got the promo of the week, which is Cornette. I'm replaying the Cornette promo when he goes off on Raw in 1997 because I had some people going, hey, I'm new to the show, and I try to direct them back to when it was, but it's just easier for me to play it on this week's episode. Again, I want to thank everyone for the 5-star reviews on iTunes. That was really cool of you. You know, Memphis History, West Dude,
thank you all again. Announcement at the end of the show on what we're doing with those five-star reviews, and you're going to get something special in return. If you're a first-time listener, please subscribe to us. However you're listening to it now, if it's on an app like Podcast Addict or iTunes or Podbean, Stitcher, subscribe to the show. We'd really appreciate it. And if it's iTunes or Stitcher, write us a five-star review for the show. We put a lot of work into this, and hopefully you enjoy. Also, follow us on Twitter. It's at @BTT_podcast. I'm at @Mike504Saints. Hardbody Hopper is at @CJHWhoDat, and we lost him, and he did not get back to us. So Lord knows what happened on that end tonight. The only other thing I'm trying to think of is, what the hell? Oh, Amazon. Look, here's a way to support the show and not spend any more money than you would already spend. So go to mikemills.podbean.com, and there's an Amazon referral link there at the top left of our website. The other thing is, also, in the show notes of this episode, you can find the link there as well. I have it linked. Just click it if you're listening on an app. I guess you can click it if you use iTunes from your phone, too. But the links are all in the show notes, so click it and help support the show. Whatever you purchase on Amazon, we get a little small amount of money in return, so that would be great if you could help us out. And then there is a PayPal donation if you just want to give us a buck or two because you like the show and you're very supportive of us. Booking the Territory Facebook. Go to facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. Hit the like button. The other thing about Facebook is our shop now button. At the beginning of the show, I made mention our new Smoky Mountain Wrestling podcast t-shirts are now on Pro Wrestling Tees. So when you click the shop now button on our Facebook page, you can get to our Pro Wrestling Tees. And Doc, you saw the shirt, man. What'd you think about it? Pretty sweet.
Yeah. I ain't gonna get any money from it, so I don't really care, but whatever.
is it better than our regular shirt, our staple shirt?
I think they're both fine. Whatever.
I do too. I think they're both great. But everyone, I really appreciate y'all tuning in this week. We rambled a little long, but hey, we had fun, man. The top five was awesome. Hopefully you're enjoying the regular show we do each and every Thursday and Friday for you that I'm dropping now and you're listening to now. And please, if you like classic wrestling, if you love classic wrestling like we do, check out the most underrated territory of all time, Smoky Mountain Wrestling on YouTube. Look at it. Watch the episodes as we go through our journey. You know, we got a couple of things coming up. We're supposed to be talking to the great Brian Last on an upcoming episode of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, our podcast. So I'm really looking forward to that, Doc, aren't you?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I gotta say I'm having a lot of fun not only going back and watching these episodes again, but then talking about it and really having fun talking about wrestling applied the way I prefer. I mean, they say it in the tagline, but it is the way I prefer to see it presented, and I enjoy it a lot more than the WWE these days.
Bob Caudle says it at the beginning of every episode. He says, wrestling the way it used to be and the way you like it. And I must say, I will admit it's a little hokey at times. It's a little corny. It's a little cheesy. No pun intended with the corny line, because it's Cornette's gimmick or Cornette's promotion. But it's a little corny. It's a little cheesy. But honestly, that's what makes it great. And stick with us, because the first few episodes, like Doc says, they're getting their feet on the ground. But it's a really entertaining product. You can watch it on YouTube along with us. We've only gotten through the first two episodes, so go back and subscribe. Listen to the second one will actually drop this coming Sunday on the 11th. But go back and listen to the intro and then episode number one, which is up right now, and you will come take the ride with us. It's a lot of fun. So we'll be talking to Brian Last soon. He's going to be on an episode that we do with it. But it's a great promotion. You will enjoy it if you are a fan of classic wrestling. At least I believe that. So, Doc, that's all I got. We ran long this week, but whatever. I got to throw it over to myself and Sammy Guevara. If you're tuning in now, thanks for sticking with us, and check out my discussion with Sammy. And then don't forget, at the end of the episode is my announcement on what we're doing with those five-star reviews. So check it out. If you're one of the people who left a five-star review, you will hear what that special surprise is. Other than that, here it is, myself and Sammy Guevara. Book it. Okay, y'all, like I was telling you at the beginning of the show this week, I'm bringing on a a star from the indies, man. You know I like to spotlight the indie guys because that's where you get your start. I mean, most people, they don't just sprout wings and fly to the WWE. So I'm bringing on Sammy. And Sammy, if I say your name wrong, man, just let me know. Sammy Guevara, is that right?
Yeah, that was pretty good. I've had a couple people botch it up much worse, so.
Oh, okay. Say it for me, so because I feel bad when I mess up a name, dude.
Nah, you pretty much said how I say it, Sammy Guevara.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, nah, I mean, my last name's Mills, man. I had people call me Miles when I was a kid. I'm like, where do you see an E at in this? So, yeah, I always make sure I'm not messing up people's names, man. I don't. So, but hey, man, I appreciate you doing this, man. We got a mutual friend, Randy Blakely, Lance Romance, for anyone of where was that, XCW fame or PCW back in Dallas back in the day. But, yeah, man, Randy hooked it up. So I just wanted to go through a couple things. Now, before I get started, I forget, when is this Zack Sabre Jr. match?
Man, that is this Friday over in Fort Worth over at VIP.
Okay, so that tells me that I got to bump what I had coming up on the show that's going to air on September the 8th. And I got to put you in that place because I want to talk to you about Zack Sabre Jr. in a minute because I've seen him perform before. So we're going to talk about that. Before we get into that, man, like for the people that don't know a lot about you, I know you've been on the indies for a while. Break it down for the listeners of my show, man. Like quick recap of, you know, who you got you started, how you got started in the wrestling business, you know, how long you've been at it and all that good stuff.
Okay. Well, I've been at it for about 5 years. I've been I trained over at the Booker T Academy in Houston, and I've wrestled in Germany, Mexico, over in Pittsburgh, Florida, Vegas, several different places, Oklahoma. Been against a couple different names, but I feel like I'm the true name. And if anyone's actually a fan of Sammy Guevara, I feel like you're a fan of success. You're a fan of yourself. You're a fan of going after what you truly want. So that's a little preview of who I am.
Gotcha. Yeah, I was I actually was at the show that Randy did last June, maybe. You worked Davey Richards.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Man, what was it like working with Davey, man? I was sitting on the stage. I was pretty close to the action. I mean, you know. What was it like working with Davey, man? I mean, what did you think of the match after?
I thought the match could have gone better. He kicks hard, so in case...
Yeah, I thought you were going to say that, because I was about to say that.
Yeah. His kicks were okay, though. I'm not bitching about it. Are we allowed to curse on this thing?
Go ahead, yeah. Free reign, dude. If you heard my show on a weekly basis, I curse. I don't usually curse when I got the guys on the phone, like, because I respect their wishes, but if they go to cursing, I'll start cursing. So you got free reign. Say whatever you want. Don't really matter to me. It's all good.
Yeah, I try to keep it. I try to not curse so much, just try to keep it PG, but it happens. That's why if you watch my little YouTube channel, there's lots of bleeps on there. I just bleep it out. But Davey's cool. He's a cool guy. I'm waiting to get back in there with him, you know, show him what I got now.
Yeah, because that was over a year ago now, man. I remember that match, man. You're damn right, dude. He kicks. that son of a bitch kicks like a mule. God damn.
Yeah, and that was a year ago after I was pretty much banned from everywhere else. And so that was like my first big profile match in like a long time because I was just doing little shows here and there. So
tell me the band story. I don't know about this one, man. Randy's never smartened me up to you being banned.
Oh, man. Okay. Just to sum it up, I made a joke on social media in poor taste, and that kind of blew out of proportion, and pretty much everyone was like, okay, we're done using this kid. I knew it was going to blow over. I wasn't too worried about it. I know my skill set. I know that I'm good, so... I knew that it was just a matter of time before people just calmed down. Nowadays, people like to just complain about anything or nitpick anything and just jump on a bandwagon. So that's what I felt like happened there. But it's all good. I was still doing my thing, and no worries. I'm still killing it, obviously.
Yeah, man. I mean, nowadays environment, it's anybody. I mean, anybody says something in poor taste, it's going to run its cycle. People are going to be like, oh, screw that guy, fuck him or her, whatever it is. And
exactly.
Eventually, You know, I don't know what you said, but I mean, it's just the normal. That's the normal. I mean, even like big time celebrities. I mean, with, you know, millions of social media followers. I mean, they say something, you know, and I'm not defending anyone. I mean, if anybody's, you know, I'm not thinking of anyone particular. Let me say that, but it runs its cycle. The PC police come out, and some things are disrespectful. They shouldn't be said that way. I'm not, you know, some things do deserve some kind of backlash. But I mean, for the most part, you're right. Things run the cycle, and then before you know it, it's like, oh yeah, that happened. You know, it was X amount of years ago. It's over with now. So okay, I was just curious more than anything when you said people wouldn't use you.
Yeah. And then people wanted me to apologize and whatnot. It's like, I apologize to who I had to apologize to. It's like, I'm not going to do a public apology or none of that. I just didn't see the point of it. Because, like, oh, so then, like, you people can take my apology and still keep it going. Like, oh, he apologized. Well, still, fuck him anyways.
Well, that's what people always do when you apologize for something. It's like, when a celebrity does something and then they apologize, you're like, oh, he's just apologizing because he got caught. That's the first thing people will say.
Exactly. Like it was like nothing I would have said there would have changed anybody's mind. So I just stayed and did my own thing, let everything happen how it happened. I wouldn't change anything if I can go back. Even though I did get taken off a lot of places, I'm happy to where I'm at now, and it was just a learning experience. So things happen for a reason.
I hear you. Now, was one of the places you got taken off of was Booker T's Reality of Wrestling?
Nah, I've been gone for there for a long time. Okay. Pretty much, I had like one match there, and then kind of just went to go do my own thing and try to see how far I can go just on my own.
Okay, I was just curious more than anything. I'm not gonna sit there and say I follow what they do. I mean, I see it on social media. And I hadn't seen your face on anything. This is only in the last year or so. That's why I asked that, out of curiosity more than anything. What was the most recent, you worked SmackDown recently, didn't you?
I did. That was actually last week.
Yeah. From who did you get to work with? For one,
I always keep trying to say Luke Harper, but no, it's Eric Rowan that I worked. It was just a quick little deal. The little SmackDown opening dark match to start off the show. So it wasn't on TV or nothing, but it was still in front of the crowd and all that stuff. So that was really cool. Eric Rowan's a cool guy. He's super chill. So I was happy with that whole experience, though, because I wasn't supposed to do anything that night. Like, the only thing that they had was that Milkman segment. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you watched SmackDown, but all they had was that Milkman segment, and all of a sudden they came, like, 30 minutes before we went out there and we're like, hey, Sam, go change into your gear. And I was like, all right. So.
It's still a good experience. Was that your first time working a dark match for them?
No, I actually got to do one last year, too. This is the reason probably you didn't hear about it because no one liked me at the time. But I actually got to do a normal match, too. Like, it was an actual match against the Matadors at the time, the Shining Stars now. And, they let us do a bunch of cool stuff. Those guys are really cool. Got to do my 630 there and all sorts of crazy stuff in that match.
So, they actually gave y'all some time. It wasn't like I don't know how long the match was with you and Rowan, but, yeah, it wasn't short.
Yeah, the Rowan match was like 2 minutes, something like that.
Yeah, you can't do much in 2 minutes, especially when you're going out to put somebody over.
Especially with a guy that size. Like,
that's a big dude.
Yeah.
I mean, because you're, what are you, about 5'9"?
5'10", you know.
5'10", yeah. And how big's Rowan, man?
I don't know.
Estimate, 6'5", 6'6"?
Something like that. He's definitely a tall dude.
Massive dude. He's a big old dude. I've seen him before, yeah. He's pretty damn big. That's cool, though, man. So two times you've got to work dark matches then at for either SmackDown or Raw.
Yeah, a couple times I was a Rosebud when they were doing that stuff, but only two dark matches, so. Yeah.
Any is there any any future or anything and possibly doing something with WWE as far as NXT or anything goes, or I mean from what you can disclose if there's anything?
Let's just say I'll keep that to myself.
Okay. I don't blame you. I gotta ask. But that's cool. That's cool. You did that. Hey, keep it to yourself. I'm with you on that one. Let me ask you this, man. What do you think of the whole developmental system and how they have it now with WWE and NXT, man. And as far as if you were a fan of wrestling 10 years ago and the fact that they didn't have anything like that.
I think it's really good. Cause then like you're building up the guys before they come to the main roster, as long as they stay there long enough. And I think it's super cool. Cause when I do eventually go there one day, cause I am telling you, I will go there one day. I just think it's cool. Like even if I won like any title they have there, there's some little kid that's watching it now. That's like probably wrestling in his backyard. Like I'm the NXT tag champions. And just to one day like hold that title or hold any title. I just think it's cool that there's like little kids now that are watching growing up that and wanting to be that champion, even though when I was a kid, that didn't even exist.
That's true. Cause I didn't, man, we've had the WWE Network for a couple years now, you know, since probably right after it started. And my kid one Christmas was watching NXT and I was like, what is this shit? You know, he had the network on and it was on in the living room. I was just passing through and it was the match with Neville and Sami Zayn for the NXT title. This is 2 years ago now, I guess. I don't even remember. But maybe longer ago than that, now that I think about it. But
takeovers, basically.
Yeah, it was like one of the earlier ones. I mean, let me say this. It probably was close to 3 years ago, now that I think about it. But I walked through and I was like, what are you watching? You know, because it catches your eye, the yellow ropes. You know what I mean? It's not just plain or anything. So he starts telling me, it's NXT. He starts educating me. It's Sami Zayn and Adrian Neville. I'm like, oh, okay. So I sat down and watched the match. I was like, God damn, these dudes are working their asses off in here. And you're right. So, and again, he's a kid. The reason I point that out, he was 9 at the time. You know, he's watching it. And it got my attention to sit down and actually watch it for that episode. And I was like, this is crazy. And then obviously since then, man, I'm a big fan of Sasha Banks. You know, many of the NXT guys that have come up. So, yeah, you see that and you're like, all right, it's become – to me, is. Let me ask you this. Do you think it's really a developmental anymore?
I feel like there's like a process before you even get to NXT. It's like a developmental before you go to NXT. So NXT, no, I don't think it's the developmental. I think it's more of a show now. It's been like that for a while, but yeah, I think you go there, you go to Florida, do the developmental, then eventually you get called up to NXT or whatever. That's just what I think.
Yeah, I agree, because to me it's like you know, it's morphed. It's evolved into something else. Maybe at one time when it went from FCW to NXT, it became, you know, it was a developmental. But I mean, like you look at it now, and it's like, oh man, how do you call it developmental when they putting, you know, 15,000 people in the Barclays Center for, you know, a takeover? I mean, that's not really a developmental. And I know that's a part of like a big weekend that they do stuff like that. But the point is, man, it's still. You know, let me say this. Their main folks, how can you say a Shinsuke Nakamura is developmental?
Nah, he's super, you know. Developmental, man. Super developmental.
Yeah. So, but nah, that was my thing on it. Man, we got to talk about this big match coming up on, September 10th?
I'm waiting for you to segue back to it. We're talking about WWE and all this other stuff. But we'd be talking September 9th. Over at VIP when I...
Oh, it's the ninth. Wait, it's the ninth? It's the ninth. Oh, I'm thinking the 10th. Okay.
It's the ninth. They're doing, okay. They're doing two shows. They're actually doing one tomorrow, too, on the 8th. But I'm not on that one, so that's not the important one. The important one is on the 9th. And that's when I'm going to be whooping Zack Sabre Jr.'s ass, baby. So if you want to see Zack Sabre, definitely come get a picture with him. I know he's got Evolve the next day, but I don't think that's a wise decision for him to have another show the next day, because guarantee he's going to be feeling it afterwards.
Now, no disrespect to you. You've seen Zack Sabre Jr. work before, right?
Of course.
Okay. I mean, I just got to ask that. So, dude, this is Randy and I were talking about it when I first heard about it. I was like, oh, okay, VIP. He's him and Sammy gonna work each other. He's like, yeah, man. So, wait, now let me get this straight. Do I have the actual, I guess, story right? Are you defending the Smash Mouth title?
Yeah, you got the story straight. They were doing a thing back in July where they were having people make videos. you know, wanting to face Zack Sabre Jr., and I made one, and I blew the roof out of everybody else's. I felt like nobody else was taking it seriously, and so I thought, you know, how serious can we get? So I decided I'm going to put my belt on the line, and they chose me, so now it's me versus Zack Sabre Jr. for the Smash Mouth Championship.
Wait, so that's really how this thing happened?
That's how it happened.
You shot a video.
Yeah, you can go watch it on my channel. I made a little jacket that's similar to his jacket. Talked some trash, and I don't know if I changed the plans or anything, or if they didn't have plans for whoever he was facing, but I'm the guy now.
That's tight. You called his name out. That's awesome.
That's what I'm saying. You know, people want opportunities. But you got to make your own opportunities sometimes. Like a couple years ago, I faced ACH, and that wasn't supposed to happen. The month before, I got on the mic and I said I'm better than everybody in the back, and I saw ACH in the corner of my eye, and I called him out too. I said I'm better than you. Guess what? The next month, him and I are booked. So sometimes you just got to go and make your own opportunities, and you got to do your own thing. And it may not be the most popular decision sometimes. But it can always work out in the end. You never know.
Nah, you make a good point, because one of the things that I think I was talking to Randy about this was, dudes nowadays, y'all got to make that social media stuff work for y'all to the advantage that the generations before didn't have. And that if that means using YouTube, if that means using Twitter, and that means using Facebook in a respectful way, then you got to do it.
Yeah, it's definitely a new age. You know, when I first was getting on it, I wasn't too big of a fan of all the social media, but you really kind of need it nowadays to get your name more out there, or make it easier for your name to get out there. That's what I tell a lot of guys, but some people just don't want to change.
Well, and I'm not saying that you have to purposely be controversial and do something crazy to make yourself more give yourself more notoriety. But at the same time, you can't be afraid to go out on a limb and say things on social media, because that's what's going to get you more notoriety. That's just my opinion. Because I can tell you right now, when I see indie guys do things on social media that make me, you know, raise my eyebrow, I'm like, okay, yeah, I can dig that, what he's saying. I mean, because that might be somebody I'd never heard of before.
Well,
but he put himself out there. And again, I'm saying if he does it in a respectful manner.
You know, rather he does it in respectful or disrespectful, as long as you believe you can back it up at the end of the day, rather, you know, you actually can or can't, make sure that you're confident in your own self, because you might be writing checks that you can't cash. And so I see a lot of guys that just say a lot of stupid stuff on social media, and they don't necessarily back it up in the ring. And so then your words almost become meaningless. It's like, yeah, you're just saying this, but it doesn't matter because you never back it up. And that's the difference from them and I, because I say that I'm the best ever. I say that I have match of the night like weekly. Every time I go out there, I'm stealing the show. And that's not like I'm making this up. It's not like I'm putting myself over. It's just a fact. It's what happens. Inspire last month, me, Lindsay, and Matt Cross, I made that match. I stole the show. I beat them. They said they're two of the best in the world. Well, I just beat two of the best in the world. And now, this Friday, I have a chance to beat who is considered to be one of the best in the world, Zack Sabre Jr. I have a chance to beat him and prove that I am in the same caliber as a man like that. And this Friday, I am going to do that.
He's talking about Friday, September the 9th, everybody, at VIP Wrestling. Sammy, not that you care, but who else is on that card?
I know Ray Rowe is on that card, and
is that the one Keith Lee's on too?
Yeah, I think they might be facing off.
I think so. I've seen so many posters, I just can't remember which one I've seen, because you threw me off when you said there was a Thursday one too, because I thought there was a Saturday. I thought there was a Saturday and Sunday, but I got it all wrong. Yeah, but so yeah,
I got it right here. You're gonna see DJZ, the new X Division champion. He'll be there. AR Fox will be there. Sanjay Dutt will be there, and yeah, it's it's Keith Lee versus Rowe.
Okay.
But most importantly, you'll see Sammy Guevara. Screw all the names, you'll see me.
That's awesome. Absolutely. Let me tell you, I saw WrestleMania weekend. I went to one of the Evolve shows, and I saw Zack Sabre Jr. and Chris Hero. Those two motherfuckers killed each other.
I mean, it was hard hitting, man. It was incredible just watching those. I mean, it was the opening match, which you know, a lot of people, well, most people know nowadays. That sets the tone. So, yeah, man, I actually live in the area, but I got family commitments, man. I ain't gonna be able to make it to see it. But hey,
man.
I know.
At least lie on the air or something.
Hey, I'm not, what do you want me to do? I got kids, a wife, I can't make it, man. And, but if something shakes out, I will buzz Randy and, cause I'm sure he's going.
Oh yeah. But look.
You probably riding with him up there. No.
Nah, I live all the way in Houston.
I know.
But nah. Even though you're not going to be there, here, spoiler alert, Sammy Guevara is going to be Zack Sabre Jr. And that's the match that you need to see. At the end of the night, I'm going to still have my championship and I'm going to be holding it up. Over Zack Sabre, who, yeah, I may be banged up. I know he's a technical wizard, whatever. But guess what? I can do all sorts of flips. I can do all sorts of things. I'll flip out of any kind of submission he gets me in. I will spin out of it. All these crazy maneuvers. It's going to suck that you're going to miss it because I guarantee it's going to be fantastic. But at the end of the day, baby, Sammy Guevara is going to keep the belt.
I'm not doubting you, man. I mean, heck, you've done my show. Zack Sabre Jr. hasn't done it yet. So, you know, I'll go with the man who's been on the air with me.
Okay, so if you have him on in, like, tomorrow, you're going to be like, yeah, fuck this damn guy.
No, I wouldn't do that. I've actually had you on, seen you in person as well. I've only seen him in person. But, hey, look, man, no disrespect. Zack Sabre Jr. is a hell of a talent, obviously. But, you know, Sammy just gave us the spoiler alert. So even though you already know the results because he told you, he's still telling you to go buy a ticket and check out VIP Wrestling this Friday in the DFW area. I keep wanting to say Arlington for some strange reason, but you said it's Fort Worth, right?
Man, if I'm wrong right now, I'm gonna seem so.
Because I was like, I thought I saw Arlington, but I could be wrong, man.
Look, I'm.
Let's look it up.
All right. I may be wrong. All right, it says Arlington. All right, just fuck everything else I said.
But you were right about beating him, though. That's the thing.
Exactly. Okay. Too many bumps. Okay. I had a show this past weekend in Mexico, Monterey, thousands of people. It doesn't matter because. Wherever the show is, I just put it in my GPS and I go there. You already know the end result. It doesn't matter what I'm saying right now. Just you look up the flyer. Go to VIP on Facebook. They got the flyer. Don't listen to where it's at from me. Just go look at the flyer.
Just know that he's going to be facing off against Sammy.
That's so funny, though. I'm going to listen to this later and just hear myself say Fort Worth and be like, what the fuck?
Just don't tell a promoter, dude.
Oh, man.
He might end up hearing it. Who knows? But, hey, what else you got coming up besides VIP, man? You got any other dates out there that you want to plug, tell the people? I mean, I got a large listener base in Texas, man, because, I mean, I'm based out of Texas too. But, heck, man, anywhere else you going to be at? I know you. Dude, we've met. You just don't remember me. I was at the Stampede show. And then I know who you are, and I think you were at the Oakland Mania show I was at, too.
Oh, okay.
Were you at Oakland Mania?
Yeah, I was in that little battle royale to start it off.
Yeah. Okay. I go way back with Jerry.
Okay.
That's why I was there, man. I know that dude from – I know him from the Indies from fucking 10 years ago at least.
Oh, well, maybe I could have hit you up sooner. Maybe I could have got out of that battle royale into something else.
Dude, that car was – stacked. I mean, come on, man. I mean, you think about some of the people who were in that battle royal and didn't do anything else. Wasn't it like Donovan Dijak in that battle royal and didn't even do anything else that night?
Yeah. Who else was there?
It was more. I'm not singling out him, but there was like
Sandow was in it and he didn't do nothing else that night.
I mean, it was that battle royal, man. I mean, you're chuckling about it, but there was a lot of like big names in that battle royal who didn't do anything else that night.
What else? Hacksaw Jim Duggan, he was in it. Yeah,
Duggan was in it. EC3 worked the match that night, right? Yeah. He wasn't in a battle royal. But dude, there was that car was so stacked. I've actually previewed it on the show. I had Jerry on the show that like 2 weeks before, man. We went through the whole car, but yeah, nah, man. I saw you there. You were you were talking to somebody when I saw you, and like I said, man, I'm just not that dude who walks up to dudes in the locker room. Hey, man, that ain't me, man. I don't do shit like that. I kind of stay quiet and talk to the people I know.
Nah, I'm the same way. I'm not like, hey, I'm Sammy Guevara, baby.
If Randy listens to this, Randy does that. No, I'm just fucking with you, Randy.
Randy's probably listening to this right now and is like, Sam, you're a fucking liar. That's all you do is introduce yourself as, hey, I'm Sammy Guevara, the best ever.
I'm tagging him on Facebook, and I'm making sure he downloads this son of a bitch. I'm direct linking him via text message. Listen now, bitch.
But you mentioned earlier about where else I'm going to be at.
Yeah.
So, obviously, Friday, the big one, me versus Zack Sabre Jr. at VIP. Then the next day I'll be at MPX, and then let's see. Then next week I'm gonna be in a show in Kansas City, and then I'm trying to remember. Yeah, then I got what's his name, Pentagon Jr. over in the Dallas area. This one's in the Fort Worth area. Pentagon Jr. on the 24th, and then I got Ray Rowe on the 25th. So a lot of cool things are coming up. Going to Mexico City next month. So a lot of cool things are in the horizon for me.
That Pentagon Jr., is that the – there's a guy in Dallas-Fort Worth that does, like, Lucha Libre shows. Is that show?
Yeah, for Martinez Entertainment.
Yeah. Okay, I've seen plenty of his posters, man, and never made it out. But, okay, cool.
Well, maybe this will be the one that you finally make it out to.
Maybe, dude. Maybe, man. We'll see, man. You know, I'm a youth sports coach too, man. So my weekends are oftentimes tied up.
Oh,
not that you care,
dude.
But.
You're the star, okay? I should be interviewing you. You're too busy.
No fucking way. I'm busy with family stuff, man. I ain't busy hitting the pavement in a car, dude. But Sammy, man, go plug your social media and stuff, man. If you want the fans to find you, I mean, you may not want people to find you,
no,
but
that's
if you
all
do,
I want. I need more people, especially on YouTube. You got a YouTube channel. Go subscribe to my channel, Sammy Guevara, on YouTube. And it's pretty much Sammy Guevara on everything else, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Sammy.Guevara, but all that stuff. If you want to get a Sammy GT, you can go to SammyGuevara.com. I'm telling you, Sammy Guevara everything. But yeah, that's pretty much all my stuff.
Cool. Well, Randy, if you're listening to this, man, thanks again for hooking me and Sammy up to do this. Sammy, I'll bring you back again in the future. The thing about this is going to hit on September the 8th, the night of September the 8th. It'll be out there on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, wherever you get podcasts from, it's always out there. But Sammy, it'll be up by then. So if you're listening to this on the 8th or the 9th, man, make sure you go check out Sammy in Arlington, VIP Wrestling, as he does battle with Zack Sabre Jr. If you're listening to this after, I guess you're going to have to Google the results to see how bad Sammy beat Zack, because that's what he said he's going to do. So, Sammy, hang tight, man. I'm gonna hit the stop on this thing, man, but I really appreciate you coming on the show and doing Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast, man.
Nah, thank you very much. Like I said, if anyone listens to this after the 9th show, just remember, I told you so. But thank you, man. Appreciate being on here.
Thank you again to Sammy Guevara for coming on the show on this week's episode of Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast and being a guest, talking about a number of different topics, including his upcoming, or if you're listening to this after September the 9th, 2016, his match against Zack Sabre Jr. That was in the WWE Cruiserweight Classic. So appreciate you, Sammy. Thanks again for coming on. Hey, I still got to announce something about the t-shirt giveaway, thanks to a bunch of 5-star reviews on iTunes. In the meantime, before I do that, hang tight for me for 1 second. Subscribe to the show. If you are a first-time listener, we greatly appreciate it, whether that is on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, or TuneIn Radio. You can give us a follow as well at BTT_podcast. You can follow me at Mike504Saints, and Hardbody Harper is at CJHHoodat. And remember, we got the Amazon link. If you just go to MikeMills.podbean.com, you can just use Amazon. I mean, in any way, whatever you buy, it's your way of helping support the show without actually, you know, giving us any money, whether that's through donations or buying a Book in the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast t-shirt that we have on Pro Wrestling Tees. So, you know, hey, if anything else, use Amazon to help support the show. Like I said about, and with Facebook, on Facebook.com/Book in the Territory, hit the like button. We greatly appreciate you doing that. It helps us grow our numbers there as well, where we post our shows. And I post extras on there all the time. You know, at Dusty's Boot on Twitter is always posting
PWI Illustrated covers and Inside the Wrestling covers, and I've been posting them on Facebook since I don't know if he's on Facebook, but I always post them on our Facebook page, so you can enjoy those there if you're not on Twitter. It's some really good stuff. And then lastly, hey, Doc and I were talking about Smoky Mountain. Check out our new Smoky Mountain Wrestling podcast that's dropping at this point late Sunday nights at 12 a.m. or Monday morning, 12 a.m. Yeah, it's our Smoky Mountain Wrestling review shows, and to go along with that, we now have our Smoky Mountain Wrestling, I said wrestling, podcast t-shirts now on Pro Wrestling Tees. So that's real cool if you want to check those out. Just got uploaded as of 2 days ago, as I was telling you all earlier in the show. So here's the thing. I made an announcement about the iTunes giveaway. Yes, you may recall that I said if we got a number of five-star reviews, I would choose a name out of a hat and give away a free Book in the Territory podcast t-shirt from Pro Wrestling Tees. So with that being said, we've had a number of five-star reviews as of lately. So I'm going to mention a couple of names that I'm going to pick out of a hat. And this person, the lucky winner, will get a t-shirt. So I will contact you I'll need your address once I pick this name. But Doc and I will pick some names out of a hat, and you will get a tee. So on this list, we got William Shepard, a longtime listener of ours. I got Steve Franklin, CM Cepeda. You're going to be in the drawing for his shirt. I got Memphis History, West Dude, and QWERTY 508. Now, a few of you, I don't know who you are. A few of you I do know, like West Dude and QWERTY 508. Thank you for the five-star reviews. We greatly appreciate it. I'm just not sure who you guys are on Twitter or Facebook. So if you win, I'll have to get your name and address, and I'll be able to ship you your t-shirt. So just keep that in mind. So we will draw it. But anyway, I just wanted to make that announcement. One of you we'll be getting a free t-shirt. Now, here's the thing. Since we got the Smoky Mountain Wrestling podcast now, we got the t-shirts for that too. You'll either get that t-shirt or you'll get the normal Book in the Territory shirt, Pro Wrestling Podcast t-shirt, if you want that one as well. So I'll leave the choice up to you once we pick the winner. Other than that, thank you again, as always, for tuning into this week's show. Before we get out of here, I just want to say, check out the promo of the week, which I'm rerunning from a few weeks ago when we had Star Maker Bullen on. Actually, it was probably close to 2 months ago now. But, Jim Cornette had a rant that I played a few weeks ago, and that's the one we're going to play again on this week's episode. So that is all I have. As always, very thankful for you tuning in. You guys are awesome. All of your tweets, all of your Facebook posts, thank you very much. And that's it. We'll catch you next week. Hang tight for Jim Cornette and his promo of the week.
Ladies and gentlemen, our other broadcast colleague, Master James E. Cornette, Louisville Lip, is back with another of Cornette's commentaries on the state of the wrestling industry.
Well, the WWF has asked me to do a commentary on the state of wrestling in 1998. I guess they figure Cornette's always good for a couple of laughs. Well, I'm not really going to be too funny tonight. Because, you see, I think the state of wrestling in 1998 stinks. I think WCW stinks. I think the NWO stinks. I think ECW is embarrassing. And I think the WWF stinks. And I'll tell you why. You don't have to go back any further than last week on Raw. You got a guy coming out dressed like a Christmas tree. You got a woman coming out dressed like a reindeer. You got two adolescent mullet heads showing their butt cheeks on national TV and having a phony match for a championship. I think it stinks. I think it's disgusting. I think nobody has any respect for wrestling anymore. Where is wrestling? Not sports entertainment, but wrestling. You know, just a couple of years ago, I left my home in Tennessee and I moved to Connecticut, which is like trading a Hawaiian vacation for a bed in a cancer ward, to come to work for the WWF full-time, the biggest wrestling promotion in the history of the planet. And I moved to Connecticut with snow on the ground 7 months out of the year, real estate prices that would make Donald Trump's hair stand on end, the rudest bunch of people I've ever seen where English is a second language and traffic jams at 4 o'clock in the morning, but I think that's okay because I'm with the biggest wrestling promotion of all time, the WWF. But over the last couple of years, I don't see any wrestling. They got some great wrestlers around here, but they don't have any time to wrestle because of all the falderall and the nonsense going on. You see, what the problem is the people running the two big promotions, one guy is a game show host wannabe from Minneapolis with phony teeth, phony hair, and a phony tan. And running the WWF, you got a whole office building full of Yankees from New York City that wouldn't know a wrestling match if it bit them. So they sit around all day listening to people on the Internet, and the people on the Internet wouldn't know a wrist lock from a wristwatch. I don't particularly care what some Yankee from New York City wants to see. I want to see wrestling matches with wrestlers. I want to see real old-fashioned wrestling. I want to see some people who have some respect for the traditions of the wrestling industry, have some respect for the sport of wrestling. I don't want to see sports entertainment and flying donkeys all around. I think it's garbage, I think it's insulting, and I think it's a shame to a fine sport like this. Down south where I come from, they know wrestling. They were brought up on it. They grew up on it, and they respect it. And I think it's about time that the promoters in the wrestling industry today recognize that wrestling fans watching a wrestling program want to see wrestlers wrestle. That's easy. It's not too hard to understand if you just think about it. But the problem is that nobody has any respect for tradition. Well, I got news for you. I got respect for tradition, and I've always been associated with real good old-fashioned wrestling, a sport of wrestling, not a circus sideshow, not a cartoon show. And if nobody else is going to bring some wrestling around here, then maybe it's going to be up to Jim Cornette. So that might be my New Year's resolution for 1998. I might bring some tradition. I might bring some real wrestling back and clear this whole mess out because I think it stinks. So there's my address. There's my opinion. There's my commentary. Do with it what you want. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Bah humbug. I'm out of here.
Can I get an amen? Woo!